Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. What a wonderful weekend we had. I know everybody's still probably recuperating, but you know I had a good time, so I hope you did as well. Genesis chapter number 3. We'll read just a few verses, then we will pray and get into the message. I know my mom sent out texts and all that stuff as far as the reports and the wonderful weekend that we had as far as who showed up and how many churches were representative here with us on Friday and Saturday, and that was a blessing. And, of course, the Secrets family coming and preaching Wednesday night last week, and then during the conference, that was awesome. So I'm glad you guys got the opportunity to meet them. What I want to do here is I want to look at a truth. And again, I know I preached out of Genesis 3 here not even a year ago, back in August. But I really kind of want to look at a thing that I'd never really seen before as far as what Satan said to Eve. Start reading in verse 1 with me. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof," watch this part right here, the end of the verse, "then your eyes shall be opened, comma, and ye shall be as gods, comma, knowing good and evil." Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wonderful people of this great church. I ask that you please be with us tonight as we represent a truth to your people. Fill me with your spirit. Get me out of the way. Don't let me hinder these people's ability to hear from you. I'm woefully unprepared as far as being able to do anything. But God, you can intervene and you can give them something like you've given them before. So God, I ask that you please lead me as we do this walk through Genesis. I ask that you please help these people as they listen. Help me as I preach. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Obviously, we've read this before. I don't really need to elaborate too much on what's going on here. Most churches know that the third chapter in Genesis is the chapter where the fall happens, where Eve and Adam eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what hit me is what he said to them. You know, we hear that verse, you know, the devil is the father of lies, and he is. That's true. But we seem to think that means he can only tell lies. But I feel like he's playing a game with Eve. This is fun to him. Of course, we looked last year at Satan's game plan. What he does in order to get you to talk with him just long enough until you fall. But I really want to look tonight at what sin was it that Eve and Adam committed in the garden. You know, we hear a lot of times it was disobedience. And sure enough, it very well could have been disobedience because they did disobey. Some say it could be pride. You know, they thought that they could handle it. They, in their pride, they took of the fruit. And it could be pride. I mean, pride is at the root of most sins. It could be debate. They thought that they were smart enough. They thought they were knowledgeable enough to go up against Satan himself. That could be a sin. It could be lust. Obviously, it's lust in the verse right after. It says she looked at the fruit, saw it was good to eat, ate of the fruit, and there was the sin. So lust was definitely involved. But I'd like to take you on a little bit of a understanding to see what exactly this sin that led from perfection, led from the garden in Eden to where we're at now. It's been said, if you understand where you come from, you'll understand where you're going. Those that do not know history are doomed to repeat it, if you will. So I'd like to keep you not from eating, fruit. We don't know it was an apple. That's Catholic dogma. But whatever fruit it was, it doesn't matter. But what can I teach you to help you, to keep you from sinning against God in the same way? What can I give you in a way to help you understand the devil's game? You see, because Adam and Eve, they were created with the ability to trust God. You see, they were the first two people on earth, which means they didn't have a civilization to depend on. They were the first two people on earth, which meant, as far as the Garden of Eden goes, there was no home, but that was their home. Which means everything that they saw, everything that they ate, everything that they did as far as their work, God had to supply that. He supplied the work. He supplied them with the energy to do the work. He supplied them with a place of rest, to rest after the work. I mean, everything that was about them was dependence on God. And oftentimes the humanist mindset, the humanist view of even a lot of Christians today, is they want to see what they can do to not depend on God. God, I don't want to ask too much of you. It's this false humility question. I don't want to ask you to protect me from too much, so I'll just protect me from this, and I'll provide this for me, and I'll do this for me. That way you don't have to do so much, because, you care for the whole universe already, and I think I can handle this part right here. But God didn't create us to handle anything. A matter of fact, the part of the curse was showing us how little we can handle things. He said, cursed is the ground, because you're going to start working in the ground and you'll see how very little you know about it. And as much farmers as we have, as much, people that study plants and people that study soil, as much as we have of that, we still don't know a whole lot. Sure, we know the biology of plants, and sure, we know the chemical makeup of the dirt. But where did that dirt come from? And most sadly, most scientists don't read their Bibles, so they think it just always was. But God provided the dirt. God provided the ability that dirt had to grow trees, to grow cover, if you will, from the sun. And we've had no part in it. So we were created to trust in Him. Not just to trust in this airy God, this God of non-tangible presence, but to trust in a God of knowledge. Right? That what the sin was God saying, I know something that you don't, so you're going to have to trust that I know more than you. And trust me when I say that that's mine. Don't touch it, or you'll die. Now, did they die immediately? No. Did they die spiritually? Yes. Right then, that very moment. And God said, if you'll trust my knowledge enough, like I created you to, that's the right way to do. If you trust my provision enough, if you'll trust that the other trees in the garden will still have fruit for you to eat on, then, hey, you'll be fine. You won't fall into sin. So if we trust God's provision, if we trust God's knowledge, they were never told to trust, but to obey. obedience is faith. You see, all throughout the Bible, especially in that book that a lot of people want to argue with, Hebrews, it drills a thought into the mind of the believer, faith, faith, faith. If you'll just have enough faith, you can make it through this thing in the right, righteous, holy kind of way that you should. So what game is Satan playing with Adam and Eve? What mindset is he trying to get them to have that would lead them into a place where they would easily fall and do what God told them not to do? I call this game Two Truths and a Lie. Two Truths and a Lie. There's this game, you know, a lot of younger people play it. They try to see how well they can lie, basically, in this game. They give you three facts, Brother Doggett. And your job is to find which of those three facts is false. And so they'll give you some fact like, I eat my boogers every other Tuesday. You know, I've been president of the United States. And, I ride my bike down the street to get ice cream. And you have to obviously pick out that they haven't been president, which means that they've eaten boogers, which means you probably shouldn't eat, you know, shake their hand or eat any food that they prepared. But this game that the devil plays leads them to a place where they fall. So if you don't want to win the prize, don't play the game. Right? If you don't want to make that awful mistake that you promised God you wouldn't do again, then don't go up against Satan playing a game that he's played since Eve, thinking that you're better. I'll show you here in a second how we're exactly the same. Adam and Eve in the garden, you as a Christian here tonight. Exactly the same. So point number two is they were created with an ability to trust on God, to have faith. Satan had one goal. See, Satan doesn't desire for you to have faith in God. It's not his prerogative to keep you depending fully on God. Why? Because that's how he loses every time. If you would submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Right? That's scripture. So if Satan could get you to not submit yourselves, therefore, to God, then you'll have a much harder time resisting Satan, which means the odds of him fleeing from you are a lot less. And he can get you to sin, which hurts God. But you see, Satan not only doesn't want your faith in God, but he doesn't really want your faith in him. He has no need for your faith. Your faith is useless to him. He's above you. He's above that. He's above helping anybody. So he's satisfied, and this is it. He's satisfied with you putting your faith in you. He's satisfied with you having the mindset of, I'm not really good, but maybe I'm just good enough. I don't know everything, but maybe I know just enough. I don't have enough experience, but maybe I've experienced just enough. This mindset, this goal that Satan has, obviously he wins. But what are these two truths and a lie that he tells? How does this game work? Well, if you look back at the text with me, sorry. It says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. True or false, church? True or false? True. So your eyes shall be opened was not a lie if it's true, right? What does it say later on after they eat? Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. That was a pretty nice guy, right? He told him that. He told him, your eyes will be opened if you eat the fruit. Were their eyes opened? Yes or no? Yes. So he didn't lie. Sometimes we think that the devil only tells us things because he wants to lie to us because lying is so fun to him. No. He wants to lie to you if it gets him what he wants. Which is you, depending on you. Go to the end of verse 5. What's the last bit of it? Knowing good and evil. Go back to verse 7. And they, what's that word? Knew. So there's another truth. So we pulled out both truths in that verse, verse 5. We know that he said three things to Eve. He said, your eyes will be open. That is true. You shall know good and evil. That is true. But what's that lie? Satan often nestles one lie in between two truths. So without the Holy Spirit and your King James Bible in your hands, you can't tell the difference. See, a lot of people say, you shall be as gods. That small g there meant, well, they thought they would be like God. No, it's not what it said. It says you shall be as gods, plural. Not God, singular. Which meant that they understood what gods, small g, plural, were. I don't have time to get into it. It's really an interesting study, but look up what it was that was in the garden with Adam and Eve throughout your Bible. You'll see that in Job, what's mentioned as the sons of God which sang at creation were present. You'll find out that in Ezekiel, he talks about the trees in the garden of God, talking about spiritual beings. So while Eve and Adam were walking through this Garden of Eden, there were other spiritual beings walking around. While Adam and Eve were trying to keep the garden and dress it and make it look nice and keep it orderly, the C-A, small G-O-D here, and a small G-O-D here, and a small G-O-D here, and they understood it. So when Satan came to Eve and said, your eyes will be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This was true, and this they understood. Because they'd seen it before. It was right there with them. But what did that mean to them? You see, the idea here is God wants you to do one thing, and that's have faith in him. And Satan wants you to do one thing, and that's put your faith in yourself. And that's the promise of Satan. Ye shall be as gods. Now, were they like Jehovah God? No. But that wasn't the promise. In a way, this is true. But in a way, this is false. Because he's promising them one thing, what they can see, but he's promising them another thing, Brother Butler, it's what they understand him to be saying. I understand that's a spiritual being. That'd be cool. God's a spirit, I guess. If I'm a spirit, then I can get closer to God. Why doesn't God want me to have that? Wasn't in his order. It wasn't in his designed plan that he told them to trust. But what was the lie part of it? What's the danger of being your own God? The danger of being your own God is that you become the arbiter of truth. That's very dangerous. It means that your Bible doesn't mean anything anymore. Because if you don't like that verse, you can take it out. If you don't like what the preacher said, you can just put some earbuds in and wait for the service to be over. If the officer corrects you on the street, you can say, well, the officer was wrong and I'm right. Because you make the rules. But you see, they were made with the ability to trust the rules. They were not made with the ability to make the rules. And so God said, if you want to trust me, don't eat of that fruit. I don't think, Brother Doggett, that that fruit was anything special. You see, because Eve didn't say it tasted different. She just said, that's good. Here, Adam. There was no spiritual attribute about that fruit. Not that I can see in Scripture anyway. What was so important about that tree? God said no. Satan said yes. And when they ate of it, they were doing what they wanted to do. She said, I saw that it was good for food. And it was desired to make one wise. So she took and she ate. She didn't say it made one wise, Brother Doggett. She said it was desired to make one wise. Which meant, hey, I don't know about you, but that fruit tree looks pretty good. But God said, no, don't eat of it. So, not only would she be the arbiter of truth, but she would be worthy of faith in herself. You see, God has this unique attribute where He's not only desiring of your faith to be put in Him, but He is worthy of your faith to be put in Him. He is God. Big G God, not small G God. Single God, not plural God. Triune God, not single aspect God. And He is worthy of you putting your faith in Him. But Eve said, I kind of want to put my faith in myself. Because I know why I say don't do things. I know why I have that rule in the house that says no running in the house. Because I really don't like people running in the house. And I don't have to explain that to anybody, Brother Doggett, because it's my rule. I make the rules. I arbit truth. I know what I'm talking about. And I'd like to be worthy enough to put my trust in me to know what I'm supposed to do. There's only one problem with that. You're not worthy. See, in the Bible, if there's a moral truth, if there's an absolute truth, that means that you can know it. And that means that there's also an opposing wrong. Which means if you know that God is the Jehovah God who you can put your trust in, then that means that there is absolutely no other person, no other thing, no other God to put your trust in. But people don't like hearing that, Brother David. They like saying, I'm good, I've got this. I'm good, I can handle it. I don't need you to tell me again, I'm good. You see, you'll be subpar, small g gods, but just good enough to handle it. You'll be just good enough. And Satan will feed you that lie as long as you can stomach it. Sadly, people like that, so they'll stomach it all the way to hell. Yeah, I'm good enough. No, I don't need to go to church every time the doors are open, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time of the revival. I've got that. I can handle it. I can do what I want to do. That's their own logic, their own ways. The Bible says, the ways of a man seemeth right to himself. Yeah, that's a good idea, Joe. I'll tell you what, brother. Keep coming up with those pearls of an idea. You might find yourself on the top of this thing. Before you know it, I put enough faith in me. I put enough trust in what I can do, and I put enough desire in what I want to do in front of me, and before you know it, I fall, and I say, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to fall. And he said, if you'd have just kept your trust in me, you wouldn't have fallen. Maybe I'm preaching to myself. Maybe you don't fall into sin like I do. Maybe you're perfect. But if that's the case, let me just preach to myself. I know I fall daily. I don't want to do it. Or I hate it when I do it. But you know what, Brother Butler? Every single time I do it, you know what I find out? I trusted me just enough. And I trusted God zero. I don't know why I'm shocked every time it happens. That is the whole point. It's the whole goal Satan's trying to get you to do. So put your trust, put your faith in yourself. Because you know enough. I hear all the stories all the time from the pulpit on Sunday morning. I understand bad things happen, but it won't happen to me. Keep trusting yourself. Satan says, just take one more step. Just take one more step. Just take one more step. You don't have to run anywhere. Just take one more step. Before you know it, you've got nothing to stand on, so you fall. And that's a wake-up call. And you're looking up from the ground and you're, man, I told God I wouldn't do that again. Told God I wouldn't have that thought again, but sure enough, there it is. Told God I wouldn't say that word again, but man, it just slipped out. I told God I wouldn't play that song again, but before I knew it, it was the next song on the playlist, and instead of cutting it off, it just seemed to hit me just right, so I listened to the whole thing. And I had told God I wasn't going to listen to that music anymore. You see, Satan doesn't want you to depend on him. He doesn't need that. He just wants you to depend on yourself until you fall. You see, the moment that Eve took of her faith and put it in herself, took it off God, put it on herself, she fell. It's not some grand scheme. It's not a whole bunch of moving parts. It's one simple word, faith. You see, there was nothing special about the fruit. We've covered that. Her faith was in herself. Adam's faith was in her. But the faith was best left in God's hands. There's a great song, it's In God's Hands. I know I'm best when I leave it in the Father's hands. It's a great song. But oftentimes, we find ourselves taking that faith out of God's hands because we can't see Him. We can see ourselves, we understand ourselves, but the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. We don't think about that at the time, so we take that faith and just put it right on ourselves. Sure, you have the simple man in Proverbs. You have the evil man in Proverbs, but most people aren't that way. Those are the extremes that the average man finds. You know what the average man does, Brother Miller? Trusts himself just a little bit too much. But you know, there's for every cause, for every problem, there's a solution. You see, the cause was she took her faith out of God and put it on her. That caused a problem. So what's the solution? What is the answer? It's easy. You say it's easy. Then watch it fall. Keep reading in verse 7. We're going to read the whole verse 7 until we find the answer, right? My answer doesn't do you any good. But if you find the answer in your Bible, that ought to do you some good. Amen? Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. Sounds like a whole lot of trusting themselves. And they made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. God curses the snake. Then God says to the woman in verse 16, and Adam is verse 17. Go down to verse 20. It says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So God said, you did what I told you not to. Exactly what I told you not to, you went and did it. You didn't trust me. You trusted yourself. And for that, there's a curse. For that, there's a correction that needs to happen. You know, a lot of Christians think that they'll sin and then they'll pray God to hold back and keep the correction from happening. But that's not how it works for the dog. You see, because as much as God is a God of mercy, He is a God of justice. And He doesn't want to see you in pain. So He said, follow what I said. But you go astray. And like when you tell your kids, if you do that, you'll get a spanking. They go and do that. You can't hold back the spanking. So God can't hold back the punishment for your sin. But aren't you glad that when you spank your kids, they're instantly not your kids anymore? They're still your kids. They're still the ones that you have to provide for. They're still the ones that you have to protect. And they're still the ones that you have to help understand how the world works. So God doesn't treat them as harshly as He could have. We can all identify with that. God doesn't treat us as harshly as He should. I don't deserve to be up here. You don't deserve to be in here. We deserve to be in hell. God said, I think I have a way out of this thing. You see, it satisfied you in your mind to sin. It satisfied you in your mind to take your faith off of God and put it in yourself. So what's the solution? I need you to take your faith off of you and put it back in me, God said. I need you to take your faith off of those fig trees you sewed aprons out of. And I need you to put it, your faith back in me that these coats of skin are going to cover you better. This law that you're naked and you shouldn't be is undeniable. But I'd like to cover you up again. We've already cursed you. We've gotten done with the hard part. Now I want to see if you trust me now. Sadly, Brother Doggett, a lot of Christians, instead of trusting God after they fall, they go fall again. Then they fall again. Then they fall again. And they come, you know, they come to the church, I don't know what's going on. And just everything seems to be happening to me and everything's so hard as a Christian. Yeah. The way of the transgressor is hard. And if you transgress God's law, you will deal in the curse. But God said, I didn't want you to sin again. So if you'll trust me that I know best, if you'll put that book that you're holding in your hands in your heart, and you live by it, you trust me, you trust the Holy Ghost in you, then you can walk through this muck and the mire of the world trusting in Him, not yourself. God said, I'll keep you from falling. We'll cover more of that on Sunday. I had an interesting thought. I was kind of talking to Brother Doggett about it. But this is basic. If you don't get this, if you don't get faith, what is faith? You taking your trust off of you and putting it on a God who's never failed you. You had to do that for salvation. It was childlike faith at salvation. So what seems to be the problem now? You trust you too much. So you fall too much. There's nothing special about Adam and Eve. This age of innocence that they're in is, I'm the exact same. I can fall just as easily as they did. All I have to do is take my faith off of God and put it on me. And all I have to do to repair that trust that was broken is take my faith off of me and put it back where it belongs, on God. If you understand that, then the next time Satan comes to you, like spinning his lies and playing his games, because he's very good at it. He's a pro. He's been doing it a long time. The next time, you can be like Jesus who puts his faith in God's word and says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then finally the devil flees. But oftentimes we're like, hey, old devil, old pal. Remember that fun conversation we had last time where I fell and hurt myself? That was a lot of fun. Let's have another conversation. Right? We fall again. We hurt ourselves again. Then we come crawling through the church doors and we say, I just don't know what happened. That's what happened. You see, when God made man, when God made Adam, he made him a triune being. It's right there in the verse. It says, God formed man from the dust of the earth. That's the body. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the spirit of God. And man became a living soul, that's your soul. Right? That's a triune being. When she sinned, when Adam sinned in this verse, that spirit had to go away. Could not abide sin. So God said, if you're saved, if you have enough faith in me to save you from your sin, then I'll give you back that thing that connects with me. I know a lot of you didn't get to, unless you're a lady, then I believe a lot of you were able to make it to the meeting. The meeting on Saturday, my dad preached on how to know yourself so that you can be the proper woman that you need to be. Of course, he's talking to all ladies at this meeting. Brother Seacrest and I got to sit in the back. And one of the amazing things that he said was talking about the communication you have with God through the Holy Spirit. Because God desires you to know Him. Right? God said in Exodus, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. So God wants you to be with Him so much. God wants to let you know who He is so much. God wants to show you His love so much that in the garden He breathed into them His Holy Spirit and said, I love you so much. I'm going to give you a piece of me to teach you who I am. And instead of putting her faith in that same Holy Spirit that's in you if you're saved, she took it out. She put it in herself. And oftentimes, draw it back to us. I told you, we're exactly the same. You're saved. You have the Holy Spirit sealed inside of you until the day of redemption. Your soul is in a battle between the flesh, the old man, and the spirit, the new man. And you want to do what this guy says, but sadly, too many times, the flesh wins. Same thing happened right there. You see, at the beginning of the conversation, she said, God said no, Brother Doggett. No, I can't eat of the fruit of that tree. No, I can't do what I want to do. And again, we looked a little bit at how exactly those wordsmiths were used in that verse to get her to add to what God wanted to say. But she was in a good spot. I don't know for sure. But maybe her time with the Lord had just ended. It doesn't say. But God does say that He walked with them every day in the Garden of Eden. In person. Did you walk with God at all today? If not, then what makes you think you're so much stronger than Eve and Adam in the garden? Because they at least had a conversation with God within the last 24 hours. And they were planning on a conversation with God in person in the next 24 hours. Did you do that? Then why is it, Brother Butler, that we think that we can go ahead and have these conversations, play the devil's game just long enough to fall, but where others fell, we'll be okay? So every single time the devil talks to you and says, don't you know better? Don't you want to decide? Don't you want to be the arbiter of truth? What you ought to say is, Holy Spirit, please lead me through this, because if not, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Because you will. Because you did it before. Adam and Eve are no different than you, except for one point. They were not sealed with the Holy Ghost. You are. Praise the Lord for it. But Paul didn't say, you're sealed, so go sin, while the sinning's good. He said, you're saved, so you now have protection from sin unto good works. Use your Holy Ghost that God gave you to take each step that you live in what God wants you to do so that you don't keep falling over and over and over and over again. Is that hard? Yes, it's hard. But is that the right thing to do? Yes, that's the right thing to do. It's easy to give in to the flesh. It's easy to wait around and let the devil talk to you long enough. It's easy to not get in your scripture enough, to memorize enough, to help you to resist the devil enough to where he'll flee from you. It's easy to not do any of that. But that's how you win. That's how when the devil comes to you against what some call their besetting sin, and I don't think anybody understands what they're saying when they say that. Sin is your besetting sin. Your flesh is your besetting sin. Yes? It's with you all the time. You brush its hair. You brush its teeth. You shower it. You feed it. You shave it. That's your biggest enemy. It's with you in a besetting way all the time. So that said, you have the Holy Spirit with you all the time if you're saved. So if you practice enough in the power of the Holy Ghost, staying surrendered to the Holy Ghost, you know what? They were not surrendered to the Holy Ghost when they fell. And every single time I've sinned, I wasn't surrendered to the Holy Ghost. If you have the tool in your toolbox to do the job that you're wanting to do, Brother David, you pick that tool and use only that tool, right? You don't use a hammer to turn a lug nut, right? No, you use a wrench or some kind of socket. So why is it we're going to man's understanding, we're going to man's logic on this, faith in ourselves, we put our faith in that tool, and we're going to use that tool whether it's meant to be used that way or not. So we take that hammer and we're beating that lug nut off. Bless God. Tell you what, if it's not easy, it's not right. I mean, if it's easy, it's not right. We got to keep beating it. God said, my burden is easy. This is a light thing, Brother Butler. Just let God do it. You can't defeat the devil. But you know who can? God. And God said, I want David Butler to not sin anymore. I want David Butler to defeat the flesh. So I'm going to give God to David Butler. You have the tools. Are you using them? Are you using them? That's the message right there. Two truths and a lie. It's not a complicated game. But every single time I played the game, I lost. And every single time you play the game, you lose. God said, I'd rather you not play the game at all. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Andrew, come to the piano, please. You have a decision today, Christian. You have a decision tonight. You can trust yourself one more time, or you can trust God every time. The altar's open if you need to use it.